This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. Good morning, everyone. If you are in the room with us, please make sure that your electronics are set to stealth mode. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll? Senator Crabtree?
Here.
Heinert? Shane Fish?
Here.
Simmons?
Here.
Zickman?
Aye.
Castleberry?
Here.
And Duval?
Here.
You have 6 members present.
We do have a quorum. All right. I wanted to hurry and get that out of the way so Senator Simmons could pitch a bill that's up in another committee right now, and she will come back. Let's start with page introductions this morning. Come on up and tell us what you're going to do after high school and your favorite part about being a page.
Hi, I'm Kieran Duffy. I'm a senior. I go to TF Riggs here in town. My favorite part about being a page, you get a lot of relationships. You know, you meet a lot of new people. It's really interesting. I really like the process, too. It's something you really never get to hear about. My plans after high school right now are to play hockey. So I don't know where, but I'll figure that out.
Hi, my name is Grace Barnett. I'm from Sioux Falls, O'Gorman. My future plans include political science, and my favorite part about being a page is like everyone you meet and seeing the government process like up close.
Well, thank you both for spending 2 weeks with us and for running all the errands you do. If you plan to testify today, please make sure you have signed in and that you print as legibly as you want the secretary to be able to spell your name correctly. If you are a lobbyist, make sure you have the right badge on. And with that, do we have a motion on the minutes from our last meeting? Moved by Crabtree, seconded by Shane Fish to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. The minutes are approved. We will take our bills in order this morning, starting with House Bill 1084, an act to provide for the regulation of motorized foot scooters and to declare an emergency. Proponent testimony. Welcome, Representative Fink.
Good morning, Senator Duval and members of the esteemed Senate Transportation Committee. I do have an amendment this morning, if you would be so kind as to act on that right away. It is Amendment 1084B, as in Bravo.
Is there a motion?
I'd make that motion. Second.
Okay, moved by Zickman, seconded by Crabtree. This puts the bill in the form that the sponsor would like. All in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Your bill is amended.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I bring before you a very short pitch this morning on 1084. 1084 is kind of a continuation of, if you remember last year, we put some statutes on the books to allow these motorized foot scooters to be used out there. And this year we simply needed to tweak a few things so that we can allow the local municipalities to adopt ordinances governing the use of those motorized foot scooters. And so with that, I'm going to turn this over. There's a Mr. Troy Holt online, and he can fill you in a little more and answer probably a few more questions than I can. I don't think he has a terribly long pitch either, but with that, I will stand by if there's any questions, and I'll turn it over to Troy.
Thank you very much. Mr. Holt, if you are online, please go ahead and introduce yourself and give us your proponent testimony.
Good morning. My name is Troy Holt, and I live in Sioux Falls. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Representative Fink. We brought a bill to the House a year ago to help define what an electric scooter is and to allow local municipalities the ability to make ordinances for electric scooters. Thanks for your support of House Bill 1192 last year. This is a great start to bringing awareness of electric scooters. This year we bring another bill which will allow a municipality to adopt an ordinance to allow scooters on the street, a bike path, or other multi-use paths. An obstacle we ran into when working with the Sioux Falls City Council and other leaders in Sioux Falls was that state law does not allow scooters to be ridden on the street. This bill will allow local municipalities the ability to make ordinances that allow scooters on the street. We believe that an electric scooter should be treated like a bike and an e-bike, and this bill will allow for that. In the city of Sioux Falls, specifically the downtown area, we know that the sidewalks can get congested at times. We want to have the ability for scooters to have access to the street to avoid that congestion. After talking with Falls area bicyclists, we now understand that it is safer to ride the scooters on the streets so that they can be seen by vehicles like a bike. We thought that allowing them on sidewalks would be safer and provide for a better rider experience. However, we heard a lot of feedback from Sioux Falls and listened to what they had to say. Most people I've talked with support scooters. They just want them ridden in the streets to avoid pedestrians on the sidewalk. We are very excited to start our business in Sioux Falls as soon as possible. This vision was started in the summer of 2020 with a visit to Duluth, Minnesota. We are partnering with a very well-run company out of Duluth to bring alternative transportation to Sioux Falls and hopefully other cities in South Dakota. Like House Bill 1192 last year, all we are trying to do with this bill is to allow local municipalities the ability to adopt an ordinance to regulate electric boot scooters. Thank you for your consideration this morning.
Thank you very much. Is there further proponent testimony for House Bill 1084? Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1084? Any opponents? And we have none online? Okay. Seeing none, we will waive committee rebuttal. Are there any questions from any committee member? Or comments, or discussion, or a motion?
Make a do pass motion.
We have a motion by Senator Crabtree, seconded by Senator Castleberry. Do pass. Any comments? All right. We are a chatty bunch. All right. The motion before us is do pass on House Bill 1084 as amended. All in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Crabtree?
Aye.
Heinert is excused. Shane Fish?
Aye.
Simmons is excused. Zickman?
Aye.
Castleberry?
Aye.
And Duval?
Aye.
You have 5 ayes and 0 noes.
All right. I will certify this for the consent calendar, and thank you very much. We will move right along then to our second bill, House Bill 1156, an act to revise provisions regarding weed removal along state highways. Proponent testimony, welcome Representative Chase.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Senate.
I'm going to interrupt for just a second. Thank you to LRC staff. Because the foot scooter bill has an emergency clause, we cannot put it on the consent calendar. So cross that little C off your list. All right. Sorry, Representative Chase.
Representative Roger Chase, District 22. I think this one may be able to go on consent. House Bill 1156 is a bill that is a effort to remove crops from the road right away. Why this bill? Why now? $6 corn, $14 beans, and $9 wheat. I would be surprised if ag producers aren't looking for every little bit of ground that they can utilize to put a crop on this particular year. Before I go too much farther, I will tell you that this is not a bill for marijuana production. When this bill was first revealed, I had the marijuana lobbyist at my desk saying, thank goodness for promoting a crops bill together with weed in the road right-of-ways. And that's not what this bill is for. This is to keep crops from being grown in the road right-of-way on township roads. This was actually brought to me by the Township Association. In looking at a lot of their statutes, they found a lot of revisions that needed to be done. And in this case, knowing the value of crops for this upcoming crop year, we wanted to make sure that we had this bill established during this legislative session. So my township lobbyist is in another committee lobbying and appropriations, so I'm kind of the one-man show. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to stand by.
Thank you very much. Is there any further proponent testimony for House Bill 1156? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1156? Seeing none, we will waive committee rebuttal. Any committee questions, discussion, and or action? We have a due pass from Senator Zickman, a second from Senator Crabtree. Any remarks on that motion? All right. It's a due pass motion on House Bill 1156. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Crabtree?
Aye.
Heiner is excused. Shane Fish?
Aye.
Simmons is excused. Zickman?
Aye.
Castleberry?
Aye.
And Duval?
Aye.
5 ayes and 0 noes.
All right. And with that, I will certify this for the consent calendar because there is no emergency clause. All right. Thank you. Thanks for keeping us on track. That moves us to our third bill this morning, House Bill 1174, an act to revise record-keeping and payment requirements for sales of catalytic converters to scrap metal businesses. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1174. Welcome, Representative Derby.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Transportation Committee. I'm Mike Derby, State Representative, District 34, Rapid City, and I do have an amendment before you, 1174C.
Is there a motion? Moved by Zickman, seconded by Castleberry. All in favor of the amendment, say aye. Opposed? Your bill is amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To speak to the amendment, I'm going to have Mr. Murphy, who represents the scrap metal recyclers, go through the amendment, and then I'll talk about the entire bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Transportation Committee. My name is Jeremiah M. Murphy from Rapid City. I'm the registered lobbyist for the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries. That's a national organization, a trade group for the scrap recycling firms. I actually represent the Northwest chapter of that organization, which is South Dakota, Minnesota, other surrounding states. What you're seeing passed around is really kind of a bullet point description of the amendment, and I'd like to take a few moments and explain that and put it in context with the bill. This bill, first of all, is to try to create fences, try to create barriers to the sale of stolen catalytic converters. That's a problem that unfortunately we're seeing on the news, we're seeing in the newspapers, and my industry is not interested in facilitating that. We are interested in helping to be part of the solution, and we appreciate Representative Derby and Senator Dietrich bringing this bill. We've had some changes that we've suggested, and that is what you'll see in this amendment. The first change you see is where it describes detached catalytic converters, and that's really an efficiency change that was recommended by LRC to make the language flow better through the bill. So rather than having to keep describing catalytic converters throughout the bill, by putting detached catalytic converters under the broader non-ferrous metal property subject, now that just all moves more cleanly. And a quick note there, the value of catalytic converters is they have some rare and precious metals in them that are non-ferrous metals, and I'm already speaking way beyond any science competence I have, but that's why that is there. So that's really just a cleanup. A key change, I think, is for most of those metals, and my client has been involved, they were involved with a bill a couple of years ago that dealt with copper theft, which unfortunately is another similar problem. And there was a threshold put that if you purchase $100 more of copper or these other metals, then you have certain record keeping requirements. You have to pay only in check or electronic traceable instrument. You cannot pay in cash. And you have to get a photocopy of the seller's driver's license. So if you're going to sell more than $100 of those products, you need to basically say, this is me, and leave a record of who you are. What we've suggested here is we take out that $100 threshold for cash. catalytic converters that are detached, any detached catalytic converter under this amendment triggers the reporting requirements. So we're in essence suggesting a tougher standard for this particular item than for the other non-ferrous metals. And that is the what you see in section two. It removes. We are asking that that sub seven of section two be removed. That required that the buyer record the VIN number and make of the automobile from which the detached catalytic converter was taken. The problem with that is they aren't stamped with a VIN number. They're not identifiable as coming off a model X, Y, or Z. In fact, you could go out to the parking lot now and looking in windshields, collect a bunch of VIN numbers and makes and put those there. It doesn't connect to anything. It doesn't provide value to the police. If we did, we'd be happy to record that. But in this case, we don't believe that goes to the solution of the problem. The final change that you'll see there requires scrap metal businesses purchasing these detached catalytic converters to have a sales tax license. We kind of went back and forth on that. The issue that addresses is there are cases where someone will come into town, set up shop on a corner with an abandoned gas station or something, put their van right there on the corner, and they'll buy. They're open for business, and they'll buy converters. That's been a growing problem, and the discussion was: Do we say that you must operate from a fixed location, or do we say that you should have a sales tax license? And the consensus was fixed location can be kind of difficult to determine and figure out. It's a lot cleaner if it's you have to produce a sales tax license. So if law enforcement encounters somebody like this, that's black and white. They don't have to argue about whether I've let the air out of my tires and now it's a fixed location or whatever. You either have the license or not. And, of course, if you have a sales tax license, again, now the state and the authorities know who you are. So that, in kind of a breathless whirl, is what the amendment would do. But the bottom line is, we believe this strengthens protections against these kind of thefts. We want to be part of this solution. We want to be responsible businesses and responsible members of the community, and so that's why we're bringing this. So we would strongly urge you to pass this bill as amended, and I appreciate your attention, would appreciate your support, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there further proponent testimony for House Bill 1174 as amended?
Oh, it wasn't. Sorry. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm David Nauman. I'm a lobbyist for the South Dakota Camelition, Motor VM Camelition Department. I had some problems with the bill. They've been working on it. There was an amendment that wasn't going to be proper, so this bill will be issued down the road in next year's to come. But Shannon Nordstrom Auto, is online, and he's the one that can answer any of your questions and discuss this to the best of knowledge. So I appreciate this, and we are definitely in support of House Bill 1174. Thank you.
Further proponent testimony. We will conclude all the proponent testimony in the room, and then we will move to online proponent testimony. Welcome, Mr. Rao.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Transportation Committee. I'll be brief, but need to tell a couple stories. I'm the president and registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Auto Dealers Association at Sioux Falls. I want to thank Representative Derby, first of all, for bringing this. We've been struggling with this for several years. It's a struggle that's been going on around the country. Most recently, if you read the Rapid City Journal, McKee Ford put out a $3,000 reward because their Abra body shop was attacked, so to speak, on a weekend, and they lost enough converters to put out a $3,000 award. This is happening every day. We also have a network among state execs where guys talk about what's happening in their area. And recently, a guy on a walk in Illinois, I believe it was, he heard something metal being sawed as he's walking by his vehicle with his dog. He looks under there, and the next thing that comes out is a bullet. The guy had a gun in addition to that saw, the reciprocating saw, and again, it only takes a few minutes or even a minute, and they can detach these. Incidentally, we also at the board meeting recently, the auto dealers board meeting a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this bill, and I told them the only fix is, and Mr. Murphy alluded to it, there's a fix to this, but the fix is the manufacturer has to put a number on that catalytic converter. and then tie it to the VIN number of the vehicle. And as a result of my great epiphany, the NADA director called NADA and said, this is, you know, this it came up at our board meeting. It turns out there is federal legislation that's trying to address that and make the manufacturers do that. So that's the only fix that I see. But this, we're not saying this is the ultimate answer, but it's certainly an attempt to and we put it in, like I say, with the other metals, which, like copper, the AGC brought that a few years ago, and it's been working. So we basically put ourselves in with them, and we think this is, it's maybe not the ultimate fix, but it's certainly a good start, and we'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1174, as amended.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Deb Mortensen, registered lobbyist for the Associated General Contractors. And we are here to support this bill as amended. This theft is happening in our fleet vehicles across the state every day. You heard before testimony about how AGC worked in 2019 to try to slow down copper thefts. We worked with this body, the legislature, and we also worked with the salvage trade to add language to this site in law that would require somebody bringing in scrap copper to produce a photo ID, and then the salvage yard would then take a copy of it. And that's just a little more traction for law enforcement when somebody reports a theft of copper wire from their job site. So it's not going to stop this. It did not stop copper wire theft. It's not going to stop catalytic converter theft, but it'll certainly slow it down, and it gives law enforcement a little more stick. So we would appreciate your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Craig Mattson, representing the South Dakota Insurance Alliance and Farmers Mutual of Nebraska. I'm testifying on behalf of both entities who have about 85%, a little bit more than 85% of the PNC market. We rise in support of this. I do want to explain one thing. Usually when I get up and testify to anything like this, people want to know numbers. We don't really have good numbers. And let me tell you why, and I think it's an important point. People are carrying larger deductibles under their comprehensive coverage. Physical damage coverage and comprehensive is the underlying coverage, and they carry higher deductibles because it makes the coverage more affordable. By doing that, though, it's in this instance that most of the costs of this is not going to the insurance company. It's at a price point where most of these losses are being paid for by the consumer and not paid for by insurance. So I think that's an important point to make. We hope you can support this. We think it's a good measure. Like most people have said, it isn't going to entirely solve the problem, but it's a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further proponent testimony in the room? Welcome, Senator Diedrich.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mike Diedrich. I'm State Senator for District 34, Western Rapid City. And I come here as the Senate sponsor of 1174. This is actually kind of a model of how good LRC process works. I started on the bill addressing this issue after talking to a local contractor who had moved into our area from a different part of the state. And he got on to the issue of his fleet catalytic converters being stolen, even when he had one of his crew sitting in the pickup at night. There was a theft attempted on the vehicle he was sitting in, and they had it in a lot, a fenced-in lot. So I brought the issue, started looking at it, and looking at other states. What do other states do? How big is the problem? And as pursuant to the LRC process, they ask if you are willing to share that you're working on an issue. And then, ironically, it was my district mate, Mike Derby, had a similar request in. And so we got to work together on it to come up with this bill. The number of catalytic converters that have been stolen in South Dakota is fairly high. Trying to find some good statistics, one of the things that got me started on it was the Argus Leader article about a year ago, and they said in the first couple months of 2021 they had 40 to 50 reports of stolen catalytic converters, and also mentioned the fact that they don't always get reported. And I've learned that's a problem in South Dakota. If you Google it, you'll see it's a problem, and it comes up in many communities in South Dakota of warnings by the police department, suggestions for security. The other part of this problem is it's a problem in all the other states too. The salvage recycler that we communicated with talked about the fact that they would receive people coming in from Minnesota, North Dakota, Colorado, wanting to sell catalytic converters. And then they said the vast majority of their catalytic converters were from out of state because those states had more rigid regulation for that. So we talked about that. How do we address that? And they didn't want to be part of that process. They want to be maybe part of having legitimate detached catalytic converters available for replacement when someone is an unfortunate victim of that. But they didn't want to be a part of stimulating the incentive for theft. And so they have them coming from other states, and we didn't want to overregulate it in any way. And so it's been great working with all these different stakeholders in it. Didn't want to overregulate, had tweaked it along the way to make sure that it was just a way of tracking and a deterrent. If you're selling hot catalytic converters, no pun intended, well, sort of a pun, a non-ferrous metal pun intended there. If you're asked to show your identification, and you're paid in a check, in the form of a check, it's going to be a deterrent to come, because if you're someone who's trafficking in that kind of a stolen part, you really don't want someone to give you a check, because you probably don't have a legitimate account that you want to put it in, and if you do, you don't want to be tracked on it, and you're not probably likely to want to show your driver's license. So we took the least burdensome, what we believe is the least burdensome approach as the first step, and hopefully it's the final step. I'd love to next year when there's other questions around this, but it'd be great to hear that the problem hasn't grown like it used to. So I encourage your support for 1174, and Representative Derby and Senator Diedrich stand ready to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Is there any further proponent testimony for 1174 in the room? Seeing none, Mr. Nordstrom, would you please unmute yourself, introduce yourself, and give us your testimony?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the Senate Committee. Can you hear me all right across the team here?
Yeah, you're doing great.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. I'm the owner of Nordstrom's Automotive in Garrettson, South Dakota. We're one of the larger automotive recyclers in this state and area. We are a certified auto recycler through our National Trade Association. We were certified Auto Recycler of the Year in 2018. I just tell you that because we've got a lot of background on this issue. I also happen to sit as the chairperson for our committees, for the Certified Auto Recycler Committee for our National Trade Association, the Automotive Recyclers Association. I am the president also of the South Dakota Motor Vehicle Recyclers Association that David was representing today. I'm speaking on behalf of my own business today, but I am a pretty good knowledgeable person on this issue. I stand today in support of this legislation. As others said, while it's not perfect, it's definitely a step in the right direction. I know that within our group, I have other friends of mine that are having to be victims of this also, because of the just happening right from their own businesses that they're having them stolen. It is a big issue. And my son had a small Super Bowl party, and a friend of his girlfriend just this year was going out. This is right in Sioux Falls on 61st Street, on a pretty busy street by a big apartment complex. And as she was getting ready to go in her car at 11:30, she drove away, and all of a sudden her car went clunk, and it was like at the NASCAR races when the car falls off the jack, and that's exactly what was happening. Somebody had jacked up her car and was in the process of stealing her catalytic converter, and she had walked out there, and they had drove away and left their jack right underneath her car. This happened just this year in Sioux Falls. So this is a very widening problem in all areas. And the value of these components for the scrap metals continues to rise. It's been up and down, but it's a very easy target. So a lot of the things that have been said already are very true in regards to the correlation and VIN numbers. It would be great if there's a way. I think that the most accurate way to do this would be to trace it back to the vehicle, so you can always keep a lock on these. Our group, myself, we've got a way to do that with our own stock numbering process, but it's just not something that's done across the board, because we own a company that dismantles thousands of cars per year, and we generate a lot of these items. And we want to make sure that there's not some unintended consequences that would stop our legitimate business. Because for us, this is just a small part of what we do. Selling repair parts is the biggest portion of what we do for consumers to be able to fix their vehicles and fix them affordably and keep them on the road. A reference was made by Mr. Dietrich about the use of these items as a repair part. And frankly, right now, that is not allowed by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. A catalytic converter cannot currently be resold as a replacement part unless it has been properly retested underneath a certification process that you can do through the Environmental Protection Agency. There is only a few of those places in the entire country that allow you to bring a catalytic converter that's been removed back and reuse it in the market. We are aware of the national legislation that was mentioned earlier that's being working on for the theft side of things. And there's also efforts underway with pilot programs that are going on and different things that would eventually make the reuse of the catalytic converter a possibility, which would be a huge help for consumers that do get hit by these theft opportunities. Because in some cases, the catalytic converters that are needed to repair these vehicles, a reference was made to within deductibles. There's many of these that are well over $1,500 to $1,800 each to replace when it comes time to have to get another one to go with new. And in recent cases, with the supply chain issues in the country, they're not even available, so people cannot fix their vehicles. If you own a mid-generation Toyota Prius and have your catalytic converter stolen, you're going to be in a world of hurt trying to find a replacement part to fix your vehicle if it gets stolen off of it. So a little bit of storytelling there, but I just wanted to make sure and let everyone know on the committee that I would be available to be very knowledgeable on this issue on a national level. We do support this as presented because, like I said, while not perfect, it is a step in the right direction. And one of the amendments that we held back on this year, we'll work on it through the summer, would be a carve-out that would make sure that we don't have unintended consequences to allow for the use of the catalytic converter as a repair part for if it's been properly approved by the federal United States Environmental Protection Agency, because I believe that'll be something that continues to grow as an opportunity, just like all the other repair parts that we offer for people as replacements to help them keep their budgets in line when they repair their vehicles. I'd like to thank everybody for their time. Like I said, our group, I'm speaking for myself, but I know that we're in support of trying to stop this problem. I think that the real problem comes with the crooks. We've got to increase the penalties on the crooks that are stealing these things. They've got to know that there's a bigger penalty. And I think that when you look at the thousands of dollars that are involved for the people and the time that their vehicles are broke down trying to find replacement parts, this is far from a small misdemeanor that these people are committing. It's a very large crime. And I'm sure in some cases, in some vehicles, if you add it all together, especially for the general contractors and stuff, it could border on a felony. It's enough money involved. So we support this legislation. I'll be available for questions if anybody has any.
Thank you very much. Is there any further proponent testimony for House Bill 1174? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? So far, so good. We will waive committee rebuttal then and move into committee questions, discussion, and or action. We have a motion by Senator Castleberry for a due pass. Is there a second? Second by Senator Crabtree. Comments?
Well, I would just like to say thank you to the good representative and the good senator that brought this bill. I had 4 catalytic converters stolen last year. And, that's disappointing when you have a bunch of preschoolers that want to go places. And then additionally, I know that there was a business in Hermosa that in one evening had over 30 catalytic converters stolen. So thank you so much for your work on this, listening to your constituents, and bringing a good bill.
Any further comments from anyone? Senator Zicklund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Shannon, you look very, very good on TV here. Look very good. It's going to be one of your next legislators here. Some of you may or may not know about Nordstrom Auto Recycling, etc., but it's one of the largest. They have an excellent business setup. They just expanded their business, and we're just very happy to have them in South Dakota. They originally started on, they are on a dairy farm, an old dairy farm that they had dairy cattle on, and they've expanded that into the business, and it's amazing. They just put up a new $100,000 square foot building for recycling, etc., and they do a wonderful job. Shannon, you forgot to also tell them that you're on the radio circuit, so he's on radio, and his partner who works for him. So they're a great company. It's going to be an honor to work with the Nordstroms there. They're just an excellent company, and he speaks the truth. So I also recommend the bill, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I did have the opportunity to tour Nordstrom Recycling, and it is an amazing operation. The motion before us is do pass as amended. Any further comments from anyone? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll on the do pass motion?
Crabtree?
Aye.
Heinert is excused. Shane Fish?
Aye.
Simmons is excused. Zicklund?
Aye.
Castleberry?
Aye.
And Duval?
Aye.
You have 5 ayes and 0 noes.
I will certify this for consent unless you really want to talk about it on the Senate floor. Representative Derby.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mike Derby, State Representative, District 34. We did have a sidebar, and I did that in the House. It was on consent, but we took it off consent, and I got to pitch it on the floor as a PSA, basically, to go statewide. And the good senator has agreed to do that, so I'm not sure how many times you've actually had someone say they don't want to be on consent, but this is it. Thank you.
We will put that in the record. All right. That does conclude our business for today, as well as all the bills that have been assigned to our committee. I did send committee members an email this morning. If any of you would like to see some up-close and personal progress on the bridge that is being constructed between Pier and Fort Pier, DOT is hosting the House and Senate committee members tomorrow morning for those who are available and interested at 10 o'clock. I sent you an email on that. Check your notes and let either me or Secretary Junt know if you are interested. They will also let you see a snowplow and the spider van, so that's pretty cool. I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Shane Fish, seconded by Zicklund. All in favor of adjourning? Say aye. We are adjourned.